don't even have to use the full name, Oprah Winfrey. Hey, you can just say Oprah. You can just say O, for that matter. She's been one of the most influential voices in American culture for nearly a generation, overseeing a multi-billion dollar empire that includes a lot of old media, publishing, radio, motion pictures, television. And over the course of these decades, we've seen Oprah at her best.
If you go back with a man who hits you, it is because you don't think you're worthy of being with a man who won't. That's why you do it.
Oprah exclusively talking with Rihanna about her troubled relationship with the Chris Brown, Rihanna's anyway. We've also seen Oprah at her maybe less than best.
I have to say it is difficult for me to talk to you because I really feel duped. I feel duped.
Talking about falsifications there in James Frye's memoir of drug rehabilitation, chastising the author on her program. But this past weekend, millions of viewers in India witnessed this.
I wanted to immerse myself in the Indian culture.
And so I heard some Indian people eat with their hands still.
I have to tell you, when I stepped in the door, I was thinking, okay, where is the house? Okay, where's the rest of the house? And then I realized I was already in it.
Oprah Winfrey there in two episodes of her own series, Oprah's Next Chapter, which aired over the weekend in India. The two episodes follow Oprah as she takes her first trip to India, talking with people in the slums, to Bollywood superstars along the way. Almost immediately after the episodes aired, and that awkward moment that you just heard, the Indian Twitter sphere blew up with criticism among the commentators. One tweeted, "The average American thinking of India as a place with snake charmers and elephants as the main mode of transport, I can understand, but Oprah?" Another tweeted, "Honestly, this Oprah Winfrey has made such a royal fool of herself with this." Still another wrote that the episodes were myopic, unaware, ignorant, gauche. This was middle America at its worst. Well, what does the O represent in Oprah? Is it just a giant bubble that keeps her from understanding what's going on in the world? Deepak Kashyap is a psychologist in India who regularly appears on the BBC's World Have Your Say. Deepak, I've heard you a number of times. We asked for him to weigh in on Indian culture and life. We also have Robert Kolker with us, a writer for New York Magazine, who's written about Oprah Winfrey in depth over her long career. Robert and Deepak, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Thank you.
So, Deepak, first of all, what do you think this means? I mean, what was your feeling when you heard this was going on? The idea of Indians still eat with their hands. Oh, wow. Maybe she should go to Ethiopia.
Well, so here's my opinion. Well, I don't think there was anything wrong with the visuals, but however, the language wasn't up to the mark. Of course, she's entitled to her own opinion and the things that surprise her. But as a psychologist, I'm more inclined to look at it from the perspective of ignorance on her part. Somebody of Oprah's money and Oprah's resources, she should have researched it enough to not have been that surprised. And the way the surprise was shown was as unappreciable as a general flaunting of conventional mannerisms as a guest in someone's house. You don't go to someone's house and make them feel inadequate and then tell them and ask them, are you happy living in this small house? So I do think that, you know, she has to stop taking her views on India from Deepak Chopra and people like him. Deepak Chopra is not considered seriously at all in India. And I think she's getting her ideas as what India is from Deepak Chopra, and I don't think that's correct.
We're talking with Deepak Kashyap, who's a psychologist in India who regularly appears on the BBC's World Have Your Say. So assuming she works out the gaffes, all right, is there inherently some sort of cultural connection that could work between Oprah and the people of India watching her on television?
Yeah, I do think, I mean, Oprah has had a very tough past herself. And I mean, she's gone through a lot of hardships in her life, just like most Indian people go through. But there was this article which came out in the First Post about how Oprah said that we still eat with our hands. And I think that words like still and all Indian women and these regular generalizations and specifically the word still, which said that there is some evolution that has to happen, that you have to start using cutlery
right.
at some point in civilization, and which Indian people haven't reached yet. That was, I'm willing to grant her the benefit of the doubt by saying that her intention wasn't to sort of, you know, insult anyone, but that's what ended up happening anyway.
All right, Deepak, you're generous there. Robert Kolker, there was a moment when Oprah Winfrey could do nothing wrong, but looking back the last few years, it seems like she can't do that much right. If you look even at the business story all the way through to these sort of celebrated gaffes here, what do you think, Robert?
Well, John, I think there are really two things going on here. One is old and one is relatively new. The old one is that we're coming up now on almost the 10th anniversary of Oprah getting regularly accused of noblesse oblige, of being out of touch. You know, she, on her show before she ended her show, she was talking about one-hour facelifts and past lives and The Secret and even, you know, how vaccines may cause autism. And this sort of thing is extended to her work in South Africa when she opened up a school that, you know, was accused of having, you know, being overly funded. And again, the Oprah being out of touch is nothing new. But the new thing is the Oprah Winfrey Network, which is just a few years old, and which she never seems to have stopped thinking of as sort of a semi-retirement job, as she calls it, the next chapter of her life. But really, it's a chance for her not to have to go to do her daily talk show every day, but to do basically whatever she wants. So I think what she did in what happened in India might be a result of her being slightly out of touch, but it's also a result of her sort of winging it in terms of her working life. She thought, I'll go to India because I'm interested in India and we'll put a show around it, but perhaps it was a little light on the research.
And, you know, is this a problem for the business model for the Oprah Network? I mean, there's been extraordinary turnover as she attempts to launch and sustain this thing.
The problem she's having with her network is bigger than anything having to do with this India program. From the very start, the biggest problem is that this network hasn't really been about Oprah. It's been almost a glorified licensing opportunity of the Oprah name. And the show never migrated there. She never wanted it to. And without her on the air every day interacting with an audience, it's a little bit like getting the NFL without the games.
The trouble with Oprah or Oprah Winfrey, however you view her, the most recognized American in the world by some counts, is not having her best moments. Robert Kolker, writer for New York Magazine, has written about Oprah Winfrey in depth. He joined us from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And Deepak Kashyap is a psychologist in India who regularly appears on the BBC's World Have Your Say. We're all weighing in on Oprah.
We continue our conversation about Oprah's network and her recent broadcast from India today. And Deepak, I wonder, you know, you heard Robert just talking about Oprah's a distance, I guess. And I wonder where that comes from. Is she perhaps making or buying into a stereotype that if you're a member of a minority, that makes you more sensitive about cultural issues?
I do think that there's a bit of that going on, because it's just considered, a given that if you're a minority, you're going to be far more sensitive, less racist, and all of that, which is absolutely not the case. Like, if you have 10 things on which you can discriminate amongst people in America, we probably would have 100 in India. So, I mean, discrimination goes on in all lands and in all kinds of things. But I do think what she does need to do is to know that talk show format isn't suitable for all kinds of documentation that she would be doing and she has been doing. So it's not all about sob stories and hardships all the way through. So, you know, the format needs to change a bit. If she's going to show about interesting things from around the world, they can't all be about sob stories and hardships and all the rest of them.
Well, how would Oprah then do a talk show from India without, I mean, as you say, it's very culturally sensitive. How does she not step on toes?
Well, that's the thing, you know, you need to do a lot more research and see what ticks people off in a certain culture and what doesn't tick them off, and still try to retain the sort of honesty about the ills of a culture or you know, the right things of a culture or things that inspire her, and how to show surprise and how to trust me, nobody in India is mad about what she, well, I can't speak for everyone in India, but I know that the people I've spoken to are not mad about what she's shown. I mean, she's shown the reality. It's not that she brought people from America and then she showed them as like Indians living in India. She did show the reality, but the way that reality was narrated was the problem. So it's the whole Slumdog thing over again, you know, the Slumdog Millionaire thing over again.
Let me go back to you, Robert Kolker, for our last question here, because you were talking about how troubled her network is. And we've had some listeners calling in saying Oprah's choosing the wrong thing, anything. Deepak says the talk show format isn't good. Our listeners say TV isn't good. She should have just gone with the social media and in the internet.
I think the, regardless of what platform she chose for her next chapter, she changed the formula, which was the biggest risk of all. I mean, if you look at the big example I think of is Howard Stern. He left radio and he went to satellite radio, but he never didn't really change the formula of his program. It was still him on the air doing his thing. And so he, you could argue that he downsized, or you could argue that he's making a lot of money, but he seems to be, you know, happy in his new role. But Oprah's new role isn't getting the audience that she's used to. The Discovery Channel that she took over got, you know, on the best day, 1 million viewers. Her show on a good day toward the end was getting something like 7 million viewers. And she just hasn't been able to bring it up at all. And the biggest problem is that she's really not on the network except when she wants to fly to India.
Robert Kolker is a writer for New York Magazine, and Deepak Kashyap, psychologist in India who regularly appears on the BBC. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
If you have a take on Oprah, her new network, or her trip to India, we'd love to hear it. It's 8778-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.